No doubt if you went somewhere this weekend, you noticed traffic is back to pre-pandemic levels, more people are venturing out, and a lot of vaccinated folks are going about life without masks. About 25 states have vaccinated at least half of their populations. Almost 62% of Maine's population is fully vaxxed. But what about areas of the country not doing so well? For instance, Mississippi, which has only vaccinated about a third of its population. What does that mean for the rate of infection and travel to and from those states? Let's bring in Dr. Michael Osterholm. He's director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota and a frequent Here and Now guest. Doctor, welcome back.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Yes, thanks for being here. Well, let's start with vaccination rates. 85% of people over 65 now have at least one dose. That sounds like we're doing well, are we?
Well, when you look at the age-related vaccination program, we are doing quite well. We'd sure like to see two doses in that group of 85%, and we'd love to obviously take that all the way to 100%. But where we're most concerned is in the younger population, particularly those 20 to 40 years of age, and in some areas of the country where we have counties in some of the southern states where less than 20% of the population has been vaccinated. So these pockets of under-vaccination really represent potential for surges in cases in the days ahead.
In talking about those places to the south, like Mississippi and Alabama, does that mean we can expect outbreaks there, more outbreaks? What about travel? How do the low vaccination rates impact the rest of the country?
Well, we have to admit that there are some questions that we can't answer at this time. For example, last April, when this new variant from the United Kingdom, B.1.1.7, emerged here in the United States, we anticipated it would do what it had done in Europe, where we saw it sweep from country to country with major impact. And here in the United States, we only saw it really hit Michigan and Minnesota in any significant way. We can't explain why it didn't hit the other states, even though they had very low levels of vaccination. And I think one of the things we are all keeping our eye on is, well, if you look at last year, if you look at the southern states, they were basically houses on fire in that July time period, where we at one point had well upwards of 70,000 cases reported a day. Then we saw them again, a house on fire in January, where we got up to 300,000 cases a day in this country, all the southern states. Is that going to happen again this summer in those states that are under-vaccinated? Surely they have enough people that are susceptible to the virus that if you look at what happened in Michigan, for example, many of those states are still not vaccinated at the levels they were in Michigan when that surge took off in April. So I think that we do have to anticipate we're going to see these surges occur, but when and why they occur, we're not completely sure. But we know that if you vaccinate your populations, that is the number one thing you can do to prevent these surges from occurring.
Right. It's the number one thing you can do, but do you expect at some point the vaccine push will actually catch on in those harder to convince areas?
You know, at this point, we don't have any evidence that it's going to catch on. I think this is going to be a house by house, person by person effort. And, you know, there's not just one reason why people aren't getting vaccinated. Some are truly raising questions about the safety of the vaccine. Others don't believe that the pandemic is real and that there is no way for whatever personal reasons they're going to get vaccinated. Other people still have had challenges getting to vaccination clinics, meaning particularly those who live alone, those who are older and elderly. There are a number of reasons why we still have a lot of outreach work to do there. So one of the things that the administration has really put an emphasis on is we go at this in every possible way. Don't just use one way. Don't just use community clinics. Just don't use community workers. Bring in every different way you can to get people vaccinated. And then just hopefully we can educate and provide enough information to answer those questions of people who doubt that they should either get vaccinated or about the safety of the vaccine. And I think that, you know, those efforts can surely increase vaccination, but we may be left with, unfortunately, a sizable portion of some areas of our country under-vaccinated.
I have just under 30 seconds with you. We're hearing that places like Oregon are asking people for evidence of full vaccination if they want to enter businesses like shops and museums, et cetera. Do you expect that more states will take on this requirement, and do you agree with this idea?
Well, mark my word, it's going to happen. It is going to happen. I mean, think about this. You know, we saw in the age of the smoking in restaurants and bars that people said, oh, no, if we prohibit that, bars and restaurants will shut down. You know what? We saw that those 70% of people who didn't smoke couldn't wait to get to the bars and restaurants when that happened. I think you're going to see here many of the public locations are going to ultimately come to the pressure of the public who are vaccinated and said, I want to go eat, or I want to go fly in a plane, or I want to go to a concert, knowing that the people there are vaccinated. So I think you're going to see a lot more of this discussion in the days ahead.
Dr. Michael Osterholm, Director of the Center for Infectious Disease Research and Policy at the University of Minnesota. As always, thank you.
Thank you.